Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is April 25th. It is Tuesday, April 25th, 2017, and we are on the third of our four-part series of the lectionary texts assigned for the week of April 23rd, the second Sunday in the season of Easter. So we've already done the first lesson from the book of Acts and this psalm from Psalm 16. And just as a reminder, in case you missed it in other times, normally we have four lectionary texts assigned for each week. The lectionary is a three-year cycle that many churches use. That's a rotating cycle of readings, one from the Old Testament, one from the Psalms, one from the New Testament, and one from the Gospels. But in the season of Easter, instead of that first Old Testament reading, we have a series of readings from the book of Acts. So you actually get two New Testament readings during the season of Easter. And it makes sense when you think about it, because the book of Acts is the story of the early church when the followers of Christ and the disciples were going throughout Galilee and the surrounding areas, preaching and teaching, continuing Jesus' work, but most importantly, telling the story of Jesus. So during Easter, as we are celebrating the risen Christ, as we are celebrating the appearances of the risen Christ, we are also hearing the stories of the early church as told by Jesus' followers. So we get all these readings from the book of Acts, and then the other New Testament reading is often a resurrection appearance or something that deals with the resurrection in some way, shape, or form. So today, as I said, is the third of our four-part series, our four-part episode on these texts assigned for April 23rd. And today we will be looking at that second New Testament text from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. So just a quick check-in, see how you're doing. How is your week going? It's Tuesday, so you've made it over that Monday, whatever you want to call it. I know Wednesdays are hump day, but sometimes Mondays feel like an obstacle to get over, depending on if you don't work weekends. If you work weekends, then Mondays aren't always Mondays for you. That was my thing when I was in the parish, was that I worked on Sundays, obviously, and then Mondays were my day off. So while everyone was complaining about getting up and, you know, having to go to work on Mondays and how, ugh, Mondays were, Mondays for me were great. They were my day off. I got to run errands or just hang out or, you know, do whatever I needed to do on my day off. Now, Tuesdays were my Monday. So it didn't sound as good when I'd be like, ugh, it's Tuesday, because everybody else was like, yeah, so what? It's Tuesday. Get over it. That was just a really strange aside that popped into my head. But as I said, we are reading the second New Testament reading from the book of 1 Peter. I was just checking in to see how your Tuesday was going, how your season of Easter is going. Are you noticing any signs of resurrection around you? It's spring, so maybe there are flowers in the area where you're living. Maybe the trees are blossoming. All of these are signs of new life, of resurrection. Here in Northern California, we've actually had a lot more rain than we normally have during the winter months, which has been great because we've been in a drought for a long time, and we got a ton of rain this winter. But it's actually been raining off and on throughout April, which doesn't always happen. We can get up into the 80s during April, so I cannot complain. It's been really nice. People are kind of getting tired of the rain, but I just love it. I have been enjoying it because it's going to be hot sooner rather than later. So we do get spring a little bit earlier than the rest of the country. I apologize for that. I know a lot of you, you know, still have been having snow, but I love to watch the trees blossom out. I love to watch the flowers bloom and just the green appear everywhere. And all of those are signs of, you know, new life and resurrection. So if you haven't taken a little moment to just look at the world around you and notice those signs of resurrection, I would encourage you to do so. It's always nice to, you know, stop and smell the roses, as they say, or the daffodils or the tulips or whatever you have. As a kid, we had grape hyacinth in our front yard, and that was one of the few flowers I was allowed to pick. So in the spring, it was always the daffodils and the grape hyacinth that would come up first, and grape flowers, as I called them as a kid. And actually, I just thought that they were grape flowers and that we just made that name up. I didn't realize that they were called grape hyacinth and other people thought they looked like grapes. I'm in a kind of random mood today, aren't I? Just sort of telling you random stories about nothing, but that's okay. Anyway, grape hyacinths, I was allowed to pick them. So they were always a sign of spring for me, along with the daffodils that grew in my mom's flower beds. So I look forward to that every year when I see daffodils and grape hyacinth. And now tulips are one of my favorite flowers, so they're a sign of spring as well. Anyway, we are going to take our first break, and when I come back, we will begin talking about this New Testament text from the book of 1 Peter. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was, well, a little bit random, telling you some random stories, but hopefully they weren't too far off the subject that made you roll your eyes. It's actually okay if you roll your eyes. I get that a lot. It's fine. But let's move on from me and my eye-rolling stories and move into the gospel text, the New Testament gospel the New Testament text. I can get this right, I promise. The New Testament text that is assigned for this week of April 23rd, the second Sunday in Easter. And as I said, that's from the book of 1 Peter, and it's chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and those verses are as follows. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with him in indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Again, that is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And it's one of the, maybe not the few times, but it's noticeable when we don't read an epistle or a letter that is attributed to have been written by Paul. This is the book of 1 Peter, and it is attributed to being written by the disciple Peter, the one that Jesus said, you will be my rock, on you I will build my church. And so we can see from that reading, I don't know what you noticed from that reading, and I always like to ask that question, what popped out at you as you were listening to that reading? Was there anything that you had never noticed before, if you're familiar with this verse or these verses? Had you ever heard these verses before? If not, what struck you from these verses? Any questions, anything like that? And again, I know I say this a lot, but I know that you can't answer me. You can talk to yourself and answer me. I do that all the time. I talk to podcasts. But I would love to hear from you. If you want to hit me up on social media, you can. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram and Tumblr as well, but Facebook and Twitter are probably the easiest ones to interact with me. So, you know, tell me your thoughts. Tell me your questions. Tell me you think I'm crazy. Tell me to stop telling random stories, whatever. Just interact with me. I'd appreciate it. I'd love to hear from you. What I took from this reading was that first, it's just very appropriate for the season of Easter, right? Because it does talk about the resurrection of Jesus. It does talk about what that means. And it's the beginning of this letter. It's, you know, we don't start with verse 1, we start with verse 3, but it's the beginning of the letter. It's setting the tone for the letter. It is giving us some idea where this letter is going to go. But let's get a little more context for the book of 1 Peter. And so for that, I'll be turning to my study Bible. And my study Bible tells me that this letter carries the name of Peter, a disciple of Jesus who became a leader in the early church. Many scholars believe the letter was written some years after Peter's death by someone who wrote in his name. And they say that this was an accepted practice in ancient times. Often we think that there's something, I don't know, devious or wrong or, you know, some kind of lie going on when letters are written. Like a lot of the letters of Paul, scholars study them to see if they think they were actually written by Paul or if they were written in his name. And sometimes we think, well, that's deceptive. Why would you write in someone else's name? But this was actually an accepted practice to write a letter in someone else's name. So the references to Peter would have been understood by the original readers as literary devices used in this type of writing. So literary devices, good thing to keep in mind. Like 2 Peter, this letter was probably written for a more general audience of churches rather than for one specific church. It brings Peter's perspective to bear on issues and concerns that he did not have the opportunity to address during his lifetime. So it's written by someone that had to have known Peter well, had to have known his, if not his writing style, at least his speaking style. They had to know his experiences with Jesus. They had to know the way that he spoke about those experiences so that it would sound like it was what Peter would say about things and his experiences with the risen Christ and with Jesus before the resurrection, with the living Christ. So it would have been written kind of as a continuation of his ministry. And for me, I think that's pretty interesting because it just forms a chain, right? So there was Jesus and he was teaching the disciples and he was trying to prepare them for the time when he would no longer be with them. And after his death, then they were to carry on his ministry. After his death, resurrection, and ascension, he was no longer there with them. They were to carry on his ministry, teaching, preaching, healing, etc. And then they, in turn, taught and had followers and started churches and formed communities and did all of these things. And so when they were gone, people carried on in their name and so on and so forth down the line through the years throughout history. And we get this chain of teaching and history and practices, and it just gets passed down and handed down. So this letter, whether it was written by Paul or whether it was, I mean, Peter, or whether it was written in his name, doesn't really matter. It's part of a chain of teaching. It's part of this series of leaders from Jesus through Peter, through his followers, of expressing his experience with the risen Christ so that people who didn't know Jesus could get a glimpse into what it was like to know him, to understand what it meant that he was crucified on Good Friday and was then raised from the dead. So a little more background on 1 Peter. It says that 1 Peter reflects the rapid expansion of the early church into Asia Minor. The writer explores issues of community mission and suffering, issues these young faith communities may have been facing. And so the letter then is outlined in the following manner. There's the greeting, and that's what we didn't read today. That was verses 1 and 2. And then a new birth, that's what we did read today, up through verse 9. That continues through verse 12. Living as God's people, suffering because of faith, and then the final greetings. So you can see that there's several things that are addressed here. It starts out with, you know, the new birth of Christ. Then it talks about living as God's people and moves into talking about how this might be difficult. Living as God's people might be difficult in light of the climate that they lived in, the society that they lived in. You know, unfortunately, there was a lot of persecution of Christians in the early church. They were persecuted for their faith. They were tortured. They were killed. There was a lot of things going on. So it would have definitely been a topic that was on people's minds. And of course, it would have been addressed by church leaders at the time. So the message of 1 Peter, Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection provide new life and living hope to believers. We are called to live as chosen people, as God's servants, and as stewards of grace. We are also called to the community of faith, which is a spiritual house of living stones, a holy priesthood, and God's own people. God brings this community out of darkness into marvelous light to carry out a mission, to tell others about God's mighty acts. And that is referencing chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. So, in his lifetime, Jesus faced temptation, rejection, suffering, and death. It should be no surprise, then, if believers and the community suffer or are persecuted and rejected because of faith. We should not lose hope when we suffer for faith, because all is not lost. God, who chooses us, saves us, and gives us new life, will strengthen and support us as we live as God's chosen people and even suffer because of faith. The mission will keep moving forward. So some of us, I don't want to say that none of us ever suffer for our faith. It's certainly not like it was for many of us who live in, I live in the United States, and we don't suffer for our faith the way that people often did in the time that this letter was written. You know, we aren't being tortured and persecuted and fed to lions and forced into, you know, the arena where we are then entertainment for the Romans. It's not quite the same way. People do still suffer for their faith throughout the world. A lot of people suffer for their faith throughout the world. And so these words are still true. It's maybe sometimes hard to understand from our insulated bubble where, you know, we do sometimes feel persecuted for our faith. And persecuted is probably too strong of a word. I don't want to speak for your experience because I don't know your experience. I myself have never been, you know, really terribly persecuted for my faith. There's awkward moments. There's moments where people question my reason, my ability to be logical, because I do believe in Christ. I do believe in God. I do express my faith throughout my life. And people who don't live that life often think, that I must not be smart. I must not be logical. I must be living in some kind of denial. You know, there's a lot of things. And so it can put you out of step with the society around you. That's definitely true for a lot of us. But I don't think that a lot of us in this day and age here in the United States are persecuted for our faith. And again, that's a large blanket statement, and please don't yell at me you're free to share your stories with me, of course. I would love to hear your experience. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. I hope that you haven't been persecuted for your faith, but I know that people are, and I'm not saying that no one here is ever persecuted for their faith. It's just not been a huge part of my life. So I'm not trying to generalize too much. I am generalizing, but I'm not trying to generalize your experience. I'm going to stop this. We are going to take our second break, and when we come back, we will look more at this reading from 1 Peter chapter 1. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the assigned text for today from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And I mentioned before the break that this letter was not probably written to a specific community like a lot of Paul's letters are, but to a more general community in Asia Minor. And it made me think about my Old Testament professor in seminary, who a lot of things that he said stuck with me because of the way he said them. And so when we would talk about a place, any place that comes up in the Bible, he would always just kind of he would yell, "Look at a map!" And he always sounded really cranky, like he really was yelling at us. But I don't believe he was. He just had one of those sort of boisterous personalities, and it definitely stuck with me. Look at a map. So if you encounter a place name in the Bible and you're not sure where it is, look at a map. It's not that hard. Often Bibles have maps in the back of them. If you don't have maps in your Bible, there's always Google. Google helps with everything, right? Or whatever your internet search engine that you prefer is. So because I looked at a map, I will tell you what I discovered about Asia Minor. Asia Minor in the first century, which is when we are talking about, contained the places of Galatia. The book of Galatians, you've heard of that in the Bible. Galatia, Cappadocia, Syria, Asia, Cyprus, etc. And then some of the city names that you'll recognize: Ephesus, Colossae, Antioch, Lystra, Iconium, Tarsus, and it's between the Mediterranean Sea and the Black Sea, so that gives you an idea. But if you still don't know what I'm talking about, well, look at a map. Look in the back of your Bible and locate these places. Often the maps in the back of your Bible are separated according to different parts of the Bible, so it's helpful to find, well, this was what the area looked like during the Exodus, or this is what the area looked like in the first century, etc. So it's helpful in that way. Anyway, we'll talk more about this text, and I want to look at some commentary, like I often do. And this commentary comes from Judith Jones, who is the professor of religion at Wartburg College and St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Waverly, Iowa. And she talks about this beginning section of 1 Peter. Again, as I mentioned before, we skip those first two verses, which are just the greeting, And then we begin with the blessing and the thanksgiving at the beginning of this letter. And she says, like the thanksgiving that typically begins Paul's letters, this Jewish-style blessing lays out the author's main theme. Though many, perhaps even the majority, of the Christians in Asia Minor were resident aliens and visiting foreigners, God has given them a new birth through Jesus' resurrection and has made them members of God's own household. So again, we get a lot more of a glimpse by this letter into that expanding early church. And as I've mentioned before, that early church was made up of, you know, a lot of Jewish people, of course, Jewish followers of Jesus, Jewish converts to being followers of Jesus, but it also was made up of non-Jewish people, those who were called Gentiles. And so here we have a lot of resident aliens and foreigners, visiting foreigners in Asia Minor. But God has given them, she says, God has given them an inheritance and the honor that their society denies them. Even if they are suffering at the moment, they can trust that God is reliable and that their lives and their futures are in God's hands. No matter how fiery the trials that their faith may endure, God can be counted on, not only to rescue them in the future, but to give them joy and hope in the midst of their suffering. Now, according to Acts, she writes, Jews from Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia were among those who heard Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And it is likely that Christianity was brought to Asia Minor by these first converts. So you begin to see some of that that progression of the gospel going out from those first followers. Many people were visiting Jerusalem for the celebration of Pentecost. If you remember the story of Pentecost, people began to hear the disciples speaking in their own language, so they were able to hear the gospel message in their own language. And so from there, because they had heard that message in their own language, then when they went back home, it's understandable that they would have talked about their experiences. They would have heard Peter. At the end of Peter's sermon, there are many, many, many people who were baptized, and so they would have taken that faith back to their communities with them. So this is showing us the progression of the gospel as it moves out from Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem and those surrounding areas, and now it's moving into Asia Minor. And so many of the Christians in this region were diaspora Jews who had come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So diaspora Jews, or diaspora, depending on how you pronounce it, you know, the Jews get spread out across the world because of just events throughout history. So instead of being this close-knit 12 tribes of Israel, then as life happens, as history happens, as the world moves forward, they were dispersed. They were spread out throughout the world. So it's likely that they were Jews who had come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So they aren't many of the Christians were Jews, but Jewish Christians also joined with Gentile Christians to form the Christian churches scattered throughout the geographically widespread and primarily rural Roman provinces in northeastern Asia Minor. And then our commentator says, together they formed a diverse community different enough from their neighbors that the author of 1 Peter could refer to the whole group as God's chosen strangers, or exiles, depending on your translation. Just think about that for a minute. God's chosen strangers. So we have God's chosen people, you know, the people of Israel that God chooses and calls in our Old Testament readings. But God's chosen strangers, this diverse group of people who has come together under the common purpose of believing that Christ is the Messiah. Just take a moment to ponder what that must have looked like. We can find ourselves fascinated with the words that we hear, but I grew up in a believing household. I grew up always going to church and hearing those stories. So I didn't come to my faith. I came to grow in my faith at a later age and learn new things about my faith, question my faith in ways that, you know, I just didn't accept the stories that I was given as a child. But I didn't come to my faith as an adult not knowing those stories. So just take a moment, and maybe you were one of those people, so you would have a completely different hearing of this text and this concept, but take a moment to think about that. A diverse group of people who have Christ in common. They've come to believe in Christ. Whether they are originally Jews or Gentiles, they are hearing this story for the first time, and they are convinced enough that they go back to their communities and tell the story. And so the gospel spreads. And she references John Hall Elliott, who demonstrated through careful study of the historical evidence from the first century that there was no empire-wide persecution of Christians at this point in history, nor was there systematic local government persecution of the believers living in the Roman provinces in Asia Minor to whom 1 Peter is addressed. So nevertheless, Christians who were not citizens, and this may well have been the majority of the Christians in this region, were vulnerable to abusive treatment by their neighbors and by the local authorities. As resident aliens and visiting foreigners, they were culturally and religiously different from the majority population. They paid taxes and contributed to their local economy, but they could not inherit property, and they were denied the legal protections that citizens enjoyed. So they weren't being persecuted as we may think of early Christians being persecuted. That did happen, but probably not in this situation. But they were still being subject to harassment. They weren't given protection under the law. In Jewish society and what the Bible tells us from the Old Testament scriptures, the First Testament scriptures, you know, we are to treat the alien in our midst with care and compassion and hospitality. So there is that may have been influencing some of the, you know, the Jewish believers who are now Christians, hopefully. But think about being, you know, that alien in a foreign land, not having full rights under the law, not being able to inherit property, or not having protection, the same protection that citizens would have had. They hear then this letter, written by whomever, but in the name of Peter, saying that you are all one in Christ. God has given you an inheritance. Even though the society denies that you are able to have an inheritance, God has given you that inheritance. So even though things are hard now, God is still with you in these hard times. God has given you these promises through the life, the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, through the workings of Jesus' followers as they continue to spread that gospel. So it's only six verses, but even in those six verses, I think we get to start seeing some of that progression, start seeing as the gospel begins to spread, and why it would have been so appealing to so many people, because we all just want to belong, right? We want to feel like we are part of a family, and that is what the followers of Christ, that is what Christ said. You know, we are all brothers and sisters in God. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are part of that family, regardless of what the wider society says about us, regardless of what we say. And so we should treat our brothers and sisters that way. Even if they are different than us, even if they disagree with us, they are still brothers and sisters in God, and we should treat them as such. So, you know, we always have that progression of Jesus's ministry leading to being servants and neighbors to our neighbors, being servants to our neighbors, being friends to our neighbors, regardless of how different they are from us. So I do believe I have rambled on long enough for one podcast today. I want to thank you for joining me. I hope that you will join me tomorrow as we move on to the gospel story, which is the story of Doubting Thomas. And we will talk more about that tomorrow. As I said, thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow. In the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. As I mentioned before, you can follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Just look for GSMC Bible Study, and you should be able to find us. You can download our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and any app that you use for your mobile devices. So thank you again for joining me. Please join me again tomorrow as we wrap up the fourth part of this episode. In the meantime, I hope that you remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.